welcome to another episode of She Speaks Stories. This really is Katie, even though it kind of sounds like a frog. But I've been in California at a wild wedding for a week, and I kind of lost my voice, but not totally, so I'm on. And Julia.
I'm here too. Yes, we are so excited. And we will let Katie sip water and hem her way through this episode because we are so excited to continue sharing faith stories. We have an amazing lady, Rebecca Wilson, with us today. Katie, do you want to tell us a little bit about who your friend is?
I would absolutely love to. Rebecca and I met years ago at Mount Ararat, a church we used to both go to. We did ministry together. We laughed and talked and encouraged one another in different ways. And then as it happens, you know, when you move and join a different church, you lose touch through the years. Well, all of a sudden, in the door of my church walks Rebecca Wilson and her fabulous husband, Mark. We hug, we laugh, we, you know. And so this summer, I had done just a little class over at that church called Share Your Faith Story, How to Share Your Faith Story. And Rebecca signed up. I might have twisted her arm and said, you come in this class. I can't remember, but I think she volunteered. And Rebecca was so bold. And she said that she would share her faith story. Because there were like 18 people that signed up for the class and like four that actually boldly story. And Rebecca was one of them and had an amazing story. So I asked her to come and do an official recording on our podcast. And here she is. Rebecca, welcome.
Thank you, Katie. I'm so glad to be here.
And we love having you. And here's the thing. For the class, I made everybody write out their story. So Rebecca's is written out. And she's going to kind of read it, but Julia and I, you know, we're going to just jump right in there and make it conversational because we are around our kitchen table having a conversation. Rebecca, just jump in and start sharing with the listeners your conversion story. And listeners, if you remember quickly, we talked about different types of faith stories, and Rebecca is going to share how she initially even got interested in walking with Jesus as her Lord and Savior. So we kind of call that a conversion story, if you will. So Rebecca, jump right in.
All right. My journey to salvation was navigated on a broken road for over a 50-year period. I was raised by an atheist father and an agnostic mother in New York City. My mother immigrated from Germany to this country when she was 16 years old to live with an aunt and uncle in Manhattan. Although she was raised in a Methodist church, she left all that behind once her feet hit the ground in the United States. She met my biological father when she was working nights in a beer house as a barmaid in the Kleine Deutschland section of the Lower East Side. After 3 days, she married him and left for Boston, Massachusetts. Crazy.
Okay, wait, I have to interrupt. After 3 days?
3 days.
3 days.
Okay. By the bar in his sailor uniform. And she thought, well, you know what? I don't have any other offers, so why not?
Wow. Okay. Well, there you go.
There you go. So even though she could speak broken English, she couldn't read or write English. So her nighttime routine when she had her children didn't include bedtime stories. Instead, she taught us a four-line prayer in German, so as not to anger my atheist father, that we said every night. She told us we were speaking directly to God and that he could hear us. That was the extent of our religious teachings. There was no Bible in the house. No church on Sundays, no discussion about God, our Father. But I did feel a wonder and a comfort each night when I said my prayers. I felt that God really did hear me.
Hey friends, Julia here. Hey, did you know that She Speaks Stories has a newsletter? Yeah, we do. To subscribe to it, just head over to our website, shespeaksstories.com. We are also on socials, so you can find us on Facebook and Instagram by just searching She Speaks Stories. We post and share all kinds of fun things. So following us is a great way to stay connected and updated on all of that fun. We just love our story community, and we hope you can join in on the sharing of stories because, as you know, we say all the time, stories change lives.
Rebecca, can I interrupt one more time? I'm so sorry. Yes.
No, great.
What was the prayer?
I know, I want to hear it.
I can't remember all the words.
The gist. Yeah.
Ich bin klein, I am small, mein Herz ist dein, my heart is yours. And then there's a line I can't remember, but the final line is in Jesus alone, and Jesus alone. And she was never able to translate it for me thoroughly, but I would say it every single night with my brother and sister.
Oh my gosh. I am small, but
my heart is yours.
But my heart is yours.
Mein Herz ist dein.
And then it ended with in Jesus alone. Yes. Oh my gosh. I got goosebumps.
I know. Same.
I got goosebumps. A simple childlike truth communicated, even though nothing else, but you hung on to. Oh, I love that.
Well, okay. And we talk about like conversion stories and how they affect other people's stories. You know, we're all big into sharing stories here. Stories change lives. So that seed was planted. And even though you said, and I don't know the story, so I'm not going to assume, but you said 50-year journey. So it took a hot minute for that seed, anything to come of it. But how true is that in the story that it still is the seed? It's still there. It still started. It still opened the possibility for something to grow.
I love that. Yes. Might have been a small teeny seed.
Yeah. But still. Okay.
So at the age of 14, I prayed to God with fervor. My family moved from the Bronx to Long Island for a better school situation for us. But the abuse in my home continued to an out of control level. My brother was moved to a home for emotionally disturbed boys in upstate New York, and my guidance counselor suspected abuse in my home and befriended me. He said I could talk to him at any time. Well, I was pretty scared, so I asked God for help. I asked him to give me the courage to talk to him. He did. Child Protective Services were called, and my father was removed from our home. My mother was relieved, yet terrified, and incredibly angry at me. She was a green card holder and feared she would be deported. That's what my father used to threaten her with to control her. She couldn't drive a car. She couldn't balance a checkbook. She didn't have a single dollar in her possession. Only three very disturbed and frightened children. Fortunately, her employer was also an immigrant and came to her rescue. Within a year, she met the son of a tenant in the apartments she managed. He was agnostic, but a kind and loving man. He was the son of an immigrant, so he understood her plight very well. Within a year, they married, and he adopted us children to keep us safe from our biological father. He gave my mother wings. He taught her how to drive. That was a story in itself. She failed the test three times. He taught her how to manage money. He helped her become an American citizen so that she would never fear deportation again. However, the rage and resentment she felt towards me continued to grow. When I was 18 years old, I borrowed the family car, drove to the recruiting center, and joined the Navy. I vowed never to return home again. I still prayed, but my prayers were full of questions for God. Why did you allow the suffering? Why did you leave me alone in this? And how am I supposed to live my life now? He was silent, So I thought. After my tour of duty in the Navy, I returned home briefly to find a job and enroll in college. I was hired by United Airlines as a flight attendant and relocated to Virginia. I didn't pray much in those days. I felt disconnected and scared most of the time. My heart burned with anger and resentment towards my parents. I ended up being furloughed after 3 years when Ronald Reagan grounded the air traffic controllers. Fortunately, I found a job in Old Town Alexandria as a bartender. I was 26 years old. I met a young, handsome restaurateur one evening and fell madly in love. That's when I started praying again. I prayed that God would bless this relationship. After an 8-month courtship, he got cold feet and moved back to Arizona. I was devastated, but after 3 months, he realized he made a mistake and asked me to move to Phoenix. Packed up my life in a 20-foot truck and drove cross country to be with him. We were married a year later and moved back to Virginia. Planning our wedding was a challenge. My parents were less than cooperative. I was lucky they even consented to attend the wedding. His parents wanted us to marry in a church, but my future husband was agnostic. We ended up finding a minister who agreed to marry us in an old inn in Skaneateles, New York. My future husband's grandmother refused to attend the wedding because we did not marry in a church. She was a Catholic Christian. We had to meet the minister for a brief premarital counseling session. He asked probing questions about our faith before he would agree to marry us. My fiance clearly told the minister he didn't believe that God had anything to do with our lives, and he had no intentions of ever attending a church. He didn't need it. When it was my turn to answer the question, my eyes filled with tears, and I told him that although I wasn't raised with God in my house, I believed in him. I told him I prayed regularly, a little bit of a stretch there, and that in my heart, I believed that God heard my prayers. He agreed to marry us and invited us to church after the wedding, which we never went. I won't go into the details of our turbulent 19-year marriage, but I will share a period where I started praying again very seriously. We started trying to have children at the 8-year mark. The first two pregnancies ended with miscarriage after just a few weeks. Doctor said that was pretty normal after being on birth control for such a long time. The next two pregnancies progressed to the end of the second month, and then I miscarried. So I started praying harder. I tried to barter with God. My prayers were a promise to him that if he let me have this child, I would raise it in a church, regardless of what my husband said. I prayed unceasingly. I was so plagued with morning sickness, but I felt that it was God's way of letting me know that I would be able to keep this baby. At the beginning of the second trimester, I miscarried and ended up in the hospital. I was diagnosed with systemic lupus and told I would never have children. That was the beginning of the decline of my marriage, and my anger towards God bubbled over, and there was no more praying. My marriage ended, and I was totally broken and lost. I moved to an apartment near my work in Vienna, Virginia. It wasn't in a very good section of town. My lupus was raging. I had a burglary at my house. I had an attempted carjacking in the parking lot of my apartment building. And I had thoughts of suicide. One night when I was lying in bed, I attempted to say my childhood prayer, put my hands together and started to try to say those four simple lines, and I couldn't do it. The words stuck in my throat. The rage inside me welled up and I screamed from the top of my lungs, "I hate you, God." It was at that moment I heard the toilet flush in my bedroom closet. The sound of flushing water. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange. I don't remember there being a toilet in my bedroom closet. So when I turned on the bedroom light and found that my room was flooded with 2 feet of water, and it was also flooded with human feces.
Oh my gosh.
I had the most curious reaction though. I just started laughing. And I said, seriously, God, this is how you answer me? I've been talking to you for 40 years, and this is how you answer me. But somehow this was a strange affirmation that God really did hear me. Mm-hmm. And from that moment on, I was determined to find him. I started traveling.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
What a highlight of how God communicates in very unique ways with people. Because, Rebecca, who would respond that inquisitively and laugh when everything in your life is going downhill? You are on the verge of just wanting to end your life, and your apartment fills with doo-doo, and you are able to laugh and get more curious about God instead of more angry at God. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And what a great. Well, I was gonna say, what a great like teaser. If you get asked, why do you believe in God? You could just say, well, you know, when your apartment fills with toilet water, and then let it carry on. Like, whoa, backstory. What does that have to do with God? And then
backstory.
I know. I was expecting a burning bush kind of moment, you know, or doves, or just
something
this
lovely,
comforting voice, and you know, hundreds and hundreds of turds. It's like, seriously,
is this what? And Rebecca, I remember during the class when you had written that, and later you told me that your husband said, "I mean, I'm glad you're sharing your story, but do you have to mention the poop?"
Yeah.
And you're like, well, yeah, it's an integral part of the story.
It is. It was an affirmation to me that he existed. He heard me. And I just needed to find a way to find him.
Wow. I love that. So, okay. Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah.
So I started traveling. I did walking tours of Ireland, Italy, and France. And every time I walked by a church, mind you, I never went to church before. But every time I'd walk by a church, I would go in and sit down and talk to God. Are you here? Can you hear me? Would you give me a sign? He gave me many signs, but I didn't see them. I was looking for signs the way I wanted to see them. The biggest sign was that my lupus appeared to go into remission, which was unheard of because I was so terribly ill. God also put believers in my path to talk to me about church and God and the gospel, but I didn't want to hear it, not from them. I wanted to hear it from God. After years of being single, I found myself tired of the dating world. I wanted to be married again, but this time I wanted to marry a man that believed in God because I felt that he would help me find God. So I started praying again. God answered my prayer pretty quickly. I met a man online that seemed to fit the bill perfectly, but he responded back and said he had just started dating someone and he wasn't a serial dater. So we just agreed to be internet buddies. He lived in Stafford. I lived in Sterling. That was really too far a distance apart to be dating anyway. But one day he was given an assignment to do an audit in McLean, Virginia. I worked in Tyson's a few miles away, so we agreed to have lunch. And it was pretty much love at first sight. In the early days of our relationship, he asked me to go to church with him to thank God for bringing us together. He confessed that he had asked God to bring him a Christian woman. Oh boy, me, a Christian woman? Hardly. I was terrified, but I agreed to go with him. We went several times. I cried throughout the worship and the service. And then one Sunday, the theme of the service was coming home. When the pastor did an altar call, the Holy Spirit met me where I sat. It was time to accept Christ as my Savior and begin my faith journey. To say that my life changed overnight would be a lie. There were plenty more trials and tribulations, but I never felt that God left me alone in any of that struggle. I never again raised my fist to Him. My growth as a follower of Christ increases every day, and I can honestly say that I trust God with all my heart, soul, and mind. I can't even explain the peace, hope, and purpose that my relationship with Christ affords me. I feel blessed beyond measure. So Katie and Julie, it took me 50 years to know Him, 50 years to trust Him, but I think I've loved Him for a lifetime.
Oh my gosh. Chills.
Oh my gosh.
Chills. I still get chills.
We call these Holy Spirit books because when we hear the supernatural story of a
life. He's the supernatural story. He never gave up on me, even when I gave up on Him.
Absolutely. Even when you screamed at Him and shouted. And I remember the first time I heard you tell a little bit of your story, it hurt you so much to repeat those words about telling God you hated Him, because mm-hmm. now you love Him so much. But God doesn't hold that against mm-hmm. us. He doesn't say, fine, you hate me? Well, I hate you too. No. God is not like human beings. He is filled with so much unconditional grace, love, mercy, kindness, hope, perseverance, and to us,
patience.
Yeah. To us, 50 years is like, are you kidding me? That's most of your lifetime, kind of.
It is.
Hopefully not. Now that Becca, you and I are getting a little older, we're like, oh, we're this. Anyway, but to God, time is the blink of an eye. I mean, He doesn't even exist in time. So I can picture you as a little girl saying that beautiful German prayer, my heart is yours. Mm-hmm. From that moment to the moment you received Him and prayed to follow Him, it's like a blink of an eye to the Lord.
Yeah.
Rebecca is so beautiful.
In all those things that you did in that lifetime of finding Him, all of that adds to your story and makes it what it is now. And different people are going to be able to connect and relate to you on all the different hits that you have, you know, dealing with sickness and dealing with not being able to have a child and divorce and all those hard times. You're able to now connect and go, yeah, but He still was there. He never left. He never said, so well, grateful. That's too much. That's too complicated. Forget it. He was like, okay, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And brought you to Him. I love that. That's a beautiful testimony. Beautiful.
So beautiful. And Mark, you're a handsome man. You're married too. So fabulously. And you two together for the kingdom. Rebecca would not tell you this, listeners, but I will tell you. She has worked for years with this ministry called Compassion Restoration, and they buy cars or get donated cars, and then they have mechanics that work on the cars for free, and then they give cars to people that can't get jobs because they don't have cars. They're poor, they're needy. I don't know. It's a real niche ministry, but
it's so
beautiful. And Rebecca has done that for years and been kind of the linchpin over there. I like to brag about you because
I love that.
Isn't
what a practical, what a practical ministry. That is so huge. That is
we
so
do
huge.
More
that-
than cars. We build handicap ramps for elderly that can no longer get up the stairs. We help renovate, houses after flood. Just doing the eradication of the mold or the drywall to help people. Our need is very individual. Our services are individual based on the needs at the time.
That's right, because you guys do firewood
too. We do firewood. Mindy was our firewood director for years.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So people that literally don't have,
they
you
can't
know,
afford to heat
can't
the
afford
house
heat.
with propane.
Oh my goodness, that's right. Because I remember a bunch of us went out to a home that was just heated by.
Oh my gosh!
You know,
well, a practical way to love on people and show them. Oh my gosh!
And
I just love
obey,
that.
Just to obey Jesus, help the poor.
Yes,
help the
yes.
poor. That's a big part of his calling on our lives as Christians. And many of us are like, well, I don't know how, but you guys figured out an incredible way how. And I think I just remember the car thing the most.
It's our biggest ministry.
And I personally got to be involved with people that came to me with their stories. And then I'm like, hey, and then I connected you. I remember
a woman that
had just gotten out of jail and she had kids. She wanted her kids back. They wouldn't give them to her until she had
she
a job. She couldn't get a job because she didn't have a car. She, you know, blah. And I remember you guys just saying, done. We got it, Katie. Here's a car. Here's this. Connections. Job. Oh, my goodness.
Life changing. That's life changing. That is someone getting a no, I can't move forward, and then you giving them a yes. Yes, you can.
Exactly. Yes, you can. Hand up versus a handout.
Yes.
Yeah. Ooh, love that.
That is
hand up instead of a handout. I love that.
Yes.
And in the sovereign hand of God, he sees this little child in Manhattan in a very abusive home, scared, lonely, but with a small prayer in her heart. And he knows down the road, this same little girl is going to help other people who are down and out, abused, broken, scared, fearful. And she is going to be my hands and feet to help others. God's so amazing.
Yes.
And we love him so much. And listeners, we love you. And Rebecca, we love you for being vulnerable enough to share your story, all the painful parts, even the parts that your husband's like, leave that out. That's a little weird, you know? But you're like, no, it's my story. And I'm going to share it in the hopes that your story might help change someone else's story. So listeners, we hope you've been blessed today, and we love you tons. Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.